Good morning. Today is Friday, September the 22nd, the first full day of fall.
Yeah. Yeah. And it feels it out there. Boy, it's chilly.
I know. It's kind of like nights again. You know, it's clear. We don't have the smoke in the air.
Right. No, exactly.
Don't have much concern about the fires. I mean, no, they can still flare, but much concern about that. Don't have the rain.
No, that car
was back to normal now.
Car was covered with dew. The ancient house I live in was freezing cold.
And the ancient house. Oh. Some call it historical, don't they?
Yeah. It's definitely historical.
Oh. Our quote this morning. Let's see, comes from Virgil. It was not in the Aeneid, though.
Okay.
It was in Georgics.
I'll believe you.
Labor conquers all things.
Work hard.
Yeah. I like that one.
There you go. I do too, actually.
I had a question for you, coming in. I've been kind of on a tirade here the last little bit, thinking that...
Oh, great. That's a great way to start.
Yeah. Big shocker, huh? That in our area, we embrace the drug culture. And that, that's... permissive, and all the things that we're seeing are kind of connected back. And I don't know if it was an epiphany or I just took a wrong turn on the trail.
Okay.
But this morning on the way in, I thought, no, maybe we embrace the homeless culture. Mm. And the drugs are a byproduct of that, rather than the other way around, that we embrace drugs and homeless is a byproduct of that.
Wow. Okay.
I know.
We're going to start with philosophy this morning.
No, I've just been kind of rumbling those things a little bit for the last period of time. And I wonder. So you're in on the first day's reflections on this one.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I don't know that I have a lot to add to that debate. If for no other reason, then to me, in some ways, it seems so overwhelming in some ways. The homeless issue, which is, as I understand it, it's an issue, but it's really a series of issues,
I get that too.
Right. And then the drug issue is similarly, complex. And, my building is, where we work is right downtown, and we see, it's kind of interesting. One of the things I do, once a week or once every other week is go around and pick up garbage downtown, and in doing so, I run into a lot of folks who are clearly homeless. And, there are some who are really incoherent, quite honestly, right? Who can't engage you at all. There are some who are great, in terms of, hey, this is a great thing you're doing. We have a conversation I don't get into an in-depth conversation, but one of the things I wanted, always intend to do is go, okay, so how did you get to this place, right? How did you get to this place? I don't do that. I've got a limited amount of time, and I've got to fill up that 5-gallon bucket and get back to work. But for me, it's fascinating because
So what do you hear?
How did you get to this place? I haven't had that conversation yet, but I think it's an interesting conversation to have because I've asked the question, when we have some discussions around homelessness, is it an economic situation? Is it a drug situation? Is it a mental health situation? Is it a lack of education situation? What are the causes?
Common threads.
Yeah. When I was in college, this is a few years ago, I did work in a homeless shelter in Sacramento for a quarter of an internship. It was a dry and sober shelter on Front Street in Sacramento. It's not there anymore, run by the Volunteers of America. And it had pretty high standards. You couldn't come in, drugged. You couldn't come in drunk. It was 80 beds, and every morning it was mopped and cleaned. I mean, all the residents.
Kind of sounds similar to what Brian and his
friends
are doing in Old Town.
Again, this is over 30 years ago, I guess now, which is sort of amazing meeting to think about, but did get to meet a number of people in there and, you know, spend some time as a certainly a curious college student wanting to know what was going on. And there were all sorts of reasons, you know, why folks were in there. Some were just developmentally disabled and had no support system. You know, you talk to them, you go, literally, you're developmentally disabled. Your family is not supporting you, or you don't have family. And you just don't have the tools intellectually to get yourself taken care of. And you know, you really felt sorry for those folks. And, of course, you wanted to help them out as much as you can. And, again, we didn't have – I mean, obviously there were substance abuse issues with some of the folks there. But because they had that standard being a sober shelter – it wasn't as much as there was another shelter down the way that had a lot more issues around that.
The thing that it was kind of the next thought that I had is because there are so many and because there's so many grants now associated with and largesse and I mean,
right.
All there are now jobs dependent on homeless. Okay,
yeah.
So now it starts to become not ingrained, but structurally
right.
locked in, and now there are jobs at risk if homelessness is dealt with. Yeah, I mean, it becomes one of those interesting little dynamics that we've had here for a while that with either the nonprofit communities or some of the various charitable organizations
right,
that are around.
Right.
You know, once they're here, now there are people's livelihoods at risk,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
it changes the whole argument and perhaps the mindset of a lot of the folks
could
too.
Could be, yeah.
Observation.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to what you want to talk about when we come back.
I have no idea.
Oh, good deal. It's 8:19.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika Thunder Country 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action, all season long, brought to you on KINS in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster.
Hey, who?
Yeah. Oh, you just want to hear your name again.
No.
You celebrity swine, you.
famous-ish.
Yes. Executive Director at REDEC. Greg, some of the different challenges this year, I would suspect, are driven by the anticipated. All the challenges with the legalization of the recreational with marijuana and the fires.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not sensed that anybody really knows what we're doing. you talk to, and had more conversations with Eureka Structure.
Right.
They don't have any limits on the number of retail establishments at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we got the number of bars, we got the number of liquor licenses, but marijuana seems to be the golden child.
Right.
Okay. I presume that the anti-smoking ordinances apply,
mm-hmm.
but nobody has clearly said yes.
Right.
Okay, so is that another structural thing that's a little bit different? Okay, and then on the other side, we've got the fires that certainly have impacted our area. Physically as
right.
well as individually. And, okay, so now that those are kind of rectified, now we have a window of opportunity called the fall.
Yeah.
And nobody's jumping through the hoops to make fall happen at this point, at least that I'm aware of. Is it more Humboldt County or behind the Redwood Curtain, c'est la vie? Rather than taking an active and aggressive and a proactive approach to getting business here, doing things, developing things, structurally getting things in place, being ready for what happens?
You know, it I think when you're in a position of leadership, it's hard because your phone and your email and your texts and you're walking down the aisle.
Your grocery store stops.
Grocery store stops, you know, wherever you are. You're presented with the issue of the moment, right? And some of that is a result of circumstance, you know, lightning, fire, you know, a flood, a hurricane, you know. And
slip
and so,
out, slide.
Right, yeah. Right. And so so I think it's really hard when you're in those positions to sometimes take that step back and say, okay, those are important, and but, you know, what do we see happening in the next 10 years, right? Because when I started,
where do we want to be in 10 years? Or where do we want to get there?
Right, exactly. And so, and of course, as I get older, that used to be, oh, you can't plan 10 years in the future. You know, that's way off. And you know, now it's like, well, 10 years is pretty quick. You know, I'm taking my son to college, moving him in tomorrow. And I was like, wait a minute, he was just born, you know? And so, you know, you see that. But just by way of a story, there was a lot of writing and data from the Federal Reserve and the Bureau of Labor Statistics around 2005 or so, 2006. There was a paper that was put out talking about the upcoming labor shortage. That by, and I, you know, I'll quote the stats, most likely inaccurately because it's 10 years ago. But I wrote about this in the Times Standard in a column 10 years ago. And the Bureau of Labor Statistics was saying because of the retirement of the baby boomers, that by the year, I think it was 2010, for every person entering the labor force, two will be leaving. And so one of the biggest issues we're going to have is a big labor shortage nationally. And then, okay, so that was kind of a clarion call at the time. We need to start dealing with this labor shortage. Well, by 2007, then we had the recession. That went on for a few years. And, you know, obviously the number of people laid off increased dramatically. You know, the employment rate went up. And at the same time, because of the decline in the stock market, a lot of the retirees saw their retirement accounts dry up and said, well, I'm going to have to delay retirement. And so all of a sudden, labor force wasn't an issue. But what that Fed was saying is, it is an issue. It's just probably put off.
Timing.
Right? Yeah. Timing. And so we really dealt with getting people back. You know, we had to get people back to work and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, necessarily, because that was a circumstance that dropped in front of the leadership. But at the same time, I don't know that we were really prepared to say, okay, what happens in 2017 when all that data, that predictive data that we knew and we had in 2007, you know, that's still true. It's just delayed. And so now we're dealing with it, right? We're dealing with a labor shortage. And I'm not just talking here in Humboldt County. You know, I work in a number of different industries. You know, I know enough about a different number of different industries, and I work in a number of different industries, just enough to get myself in trouble. But that, for example, and you had a segment this morning, they talked about it on the way in, the pilot issue. And it's affecting, you know, the ability of airlines to actually conduct business.
Contractors,
plumbers, well, exactly.
Roofer. I mean,
I hear from everybody. Truck drivers. You know, I was talking
across the board, and it's not just regional. It's
everywhere.
So the question that I've got regarding this, and it was kind of made some sense in a discussion I had yesterday. Is it a cultural thing? The early 20s, when we were coming through, we were busting chops to try to get a house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now there's not even an interest in a house. Till later on. Everything
right.
seems to be a little delayed. An elongated yeah. college or elongated.
Sure, sure.
And that some of those pressures to enter the workforce
right.
aren't there right now either.
Sure.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster. Greg Foster.
No, you know, I don't know if it's been going around this office, but we've had a number of people sick in our office, and I was the one that started it, so now I'm still getting over that, that cough.
Congratulations. Yeah. Stay on your side of the room.
I'm good now.
Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Mr. Foster
Redeck,
yes. Yeah.
Did I pay my bill this month? I think I did. My accountant is very on it.
Well, you know what? You're here, so I'm presuming.
Yeah, okay,
you did.
Perfect.
Looking at some of the different challenges that are here, we've got a new fiscal year. We've got we got elections coming up that typically are no-brainers.
Mm. I don't think any election should be a no-brainer.
Shouldn't be, but right. For the first time in the company history, we have political buys for the CR Board of Trustees.
Mm, interesting.
Going, huh.
Yeah.
Really? Something is starting to shift. Maggie's declaring next week.
Right.
A number of the others are really close to declaring. We're in September.
Right, right.
The thing is 9 months away.
Right.
So many of the opponents of a lot of these folks have already declared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
What? Nice and early.
Something is changing.
Right.
And I don't know if it's a development off of the Obama-Trump campaigns.
Right.
Years of the last, you know, 10 that everything is so my way or the highway.
Right.
Or what's going on? But do you sense that there's something afoot? At the same time, we can't get employees and jobs are readily available, perhaps not the job you want,
right?
And businesses are suffering because of it. I mean, these things that are just popping up, and I don't believe in coincidences.
No, and you know, it's interesting, when I was in I was a poli sci major back in the day.
That.
Yeah.
The one thing I like about you.
Yeah, exactly. There was a discussion about in one of my classes, and it's a broader discussion, obviously, about voter participation. And the debate was, you know, voters don't participate and don't vote because they're A, satisfied, or B, so dissatisfied they don't want to participate in the process. And I suspect that it's not an either or, it's both. That if there's not a hot button issue, if you're not paying attention, or if you're doing okay personally, unless you have sort of a deep, you know, personal drive to be civically engaged, and you think it's your duty and obligation to go do that, you just don't, right? There's nobody really running. I don't know what the issue
if
is.
We're still locked in the 50s and 60s. Personally, we're voting because that's what you're
personally,
supposed to
do. Yeah.
But it's not being driven by a lightning rod issue.
Right. So I think for any number of reasons, folks are getting more engaged and getting more interested. Some of it is they don't like the direction things are going. Some of it is that they are coming of a certain age where they are thinking that, hey, I'm now going to be engaged because I have to really start getting serious about my future. You know, there's any number of reasons.
Well, and people like the direction, you know, others like the direction we're going. They want to ensure that
exactly.
It continues that.
Exactly.
I mean, so
It's all
different.
Good.
It's different, though.
But I think it's good. I mean, and you bring up the CR races, and I'm not real familiar with them just yet. But
I don't think anybody.
Yeah,
is, honestly.
I think it's always good to have a discussion, a healthy discussion, if you can, around any office, because you know these folks who are running based on their ideas. If not, and ultimately, I guess the corollary to that is in their ability to really, because of personal talent or commitment or whatever, address those things, right? And so, you know, when I talk to candidates, they always want to come and learn about economic development, you know, and you know, I welcome them all in, and I tell them what I think and what some of the issues are, and I always like to ask them the question, so why? What's your, you know, what's the big idea? What's the vision? You know, the great society vision, if you want to use a Lyndon Johnson term, or a New Deal vision, if you're, or the shining city on the hill, if you're a Reaganite, you know, what is the big idea, the big vision that you're pushing for? And I think that, if it's, well, we need to deal with this issue, we need to deal with this issue, which is the issue du jour. Yes, I agree. These are issues we need to deal with, but you're putting yourself in a position where you're going to be asking us to put you in a position where you're making big decisions about our future. So, what is your vision of the future, and how do we get there? I know we need to deal with the homeless problem. We have needles in the parks. The grounds don't look good. We have, you know, a lot of these little things. And I know they need to be addressed, right? But what's the big thing? What are you really trying to achieve here? And what's your philosophy? And what's your approach?
What was your triggering event?
Yeah, exactly. Why are you doing this?
One of the things that I thought is, and I don't know if it's cyclical. You're the poli sci, so I'll suggest.
It's been a long time since I took a poli sci class.
I'll suggest that it is, and you can shoot me down.
Sure.
Is that there's a cyclical component here. And there's just a distrust with government. Mm-hmm. What Eureka was trying to do with the Corp Yard.
Yeah.
And whatever they say, I'm sorry, they got caught. Yeah. Don't tell me it wasn't.
I knew caught. That was going to be an issue when my secretary brought in the flyer. And it's like, boy, I hadn't even heard of this. You know, it's like, oh.
What a stunner. Trying to pull a quickie and you got nailed and now you're backpedaling.
Yeah.
As an example for the Eureka area of, really? And I think maybe sometimes that is the event. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, everything's transparent. My eye, nothing's transparent. Right. Give me a break. You know, you're doing it to CYA.
Right.
I get that one. But there's nothing that's transparent. You can't. Legally, you can't in a lot of things. And business-wise, I mean, if you're in the middle of negotiations, you're not going to have it in a public setting. Give me a break. I mean, things are progressing as they always should and do.
Do, right.
But when you – that – the lack of the sphere of influence that the county had with Fortuna and the marijuana stuff. I mean, come on, guys. These are basics. This is blocking and tackling, as McCauley likes to say. These are fundamental things, and you're blowing those things. Maybe it's time to relook at the whole organization.
Mm. I'm always a big fan of looking at the, you know, organizational structure, how we approach things.
Systems,
absolutely, absolutely. And you know, there's nothing wrong with shuffling things around. I mean, I actually listened to the station coming in. So, you know, Sam Panisi's talking about change. We had the guy talking about the pilot shortage. So they're hitting on all the cylinders for me this morning. But you're right. You know, we've gotten ourselves to this point doing certain things, right? If we're absolutely happy with where we are, then we keep doing the same things. If we're not, we change. More importantly, if we think that in 10 years, things are going to be really different, or we want them to be different, then we need to change. We need to change as a matter of proaction rather than reaction. And that's really hard, again, when, you know, you're trying to walk down the aisle and at the store and everybody's saying, well, you know, this is an issue. I got a pothole. I got a homeless guy. I got a public safety issue. But it's absolutely necessary. And for those who are running for election, that is what they're saying they want to do.
It's 8:44.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning. Final segment of the week. Mr. Foster is on board.
The whole 2 minutes.
That's right, baby. So what is your sense for the remainder of this year? Are we going to get traction? Are we going to get some movement? Do you see, is there a Greg for the day being king?
Yeah.
Is there enough time to see movement on any one thing before the end of the year and go, yeah, okay, we finished on an upswing?
Right, right. Wow, that's a tough question. There, because if for no other reason, there are so many moving parts. Right, there's so when you say movement, it's you know, I have to ask myself in what area. I mean, we have some big
pick one.
Okay, you know, we have some big issues to deal with. Are we going to see movement before now and the end of the year? My hunch is. And maybe this is my cynical part, is that we won't see a lot of movement if for no other reason we're gearing up for the elections. And this is a time when I think a lot of folks will say, okay, so it's time to concentrate on kind of looking back what accomplishments we've had, trying to frame the big issues, I hope. And go into election season, but
you're saying our eyes are going to be focused on the rearview mirror.
I think that's true. And that's not necessarily an indictment of the local leadership. I think that's just the way the natural way things work when you're in the last 6 months before an election or 8 months before the election. You know, you're kind of trying to figure out how people are feeling. You know, you're trying to figure out, you know, what have we done? Where am I standing with the community? And then trying to define what the big issues are going to be in the election.
You did a great job of filibustering. You sure not running for office?
No.
All right, man. Safe drive.
Oh, thank you.
See everybody on Monday.